Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn now with beautiful sister, Elder Munya Andrews, and also Carla Rogers, Evolve Communities Director, and they've both written a book, Practical Reconciliation, Strengthening Relationships for All Australians in 7 Easy Steps. Now, with Black Lives Matters movements and practical reconciliation is more important now than ever. So we've got Sister Munya on the line. Munya, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Good, my sister. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, who your mob were you from?
My mob are the Bardi people, we saltwater people. We live on the northwest coast of WA, up there in the Kimberley.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful country, yep. Good footprint. Fantastic. And you've got your bodyguard or your partner in crime, Carla Rogers. Very good morning, Carla. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Trevor. I'm great, thanks. Good to be talking to you.
You too, my sister. And you deadly Miglu woman in business with Munya. So tell us first how this relationship started, you guys.
Yes, I am Miglu, and so I don't have a very flash heritage. I think I've got eight convicts.
Yeah, we'll claim you, sister. We'll claim you.
Yeah.
So how did it start with you guys?
Yeah. So I was doing a really large with Evolve, with my business. I was doing a really large project up at the Carpentaria with the Dumaji mob. And
My family up there, my family, that's my connection up that way, so yes, continue.
Yeah, and so we're working with them on developing their community safety plans, and I needed a great team of Indigenous facilitators, and Munya came into that project. That was in 2011. And then we realised that Munya and I, we had a lot in common, and particularly with Munya's cultural expertise, and then I've done a lot in community, working with communities and facilitation, and so then we started teaching around reconciliation and cultural awareness.
Okay, beautiful. Now, you've both now written a book, Practical Reconciliation, Strengthen Relationships for All Australians in 7 Easy Steps. Look, tell us about this deadly book, please.
The book is, when we're teaching people, Trevor, because the book is about, people come to us sort of not knowing what to do. They want to make a difference, and they want to be, you know, even have an Aboriginal friend or know what they can do around this Black Lives Matter movement. But they just don't know where to start, and they're worried about offending. So we kind of teach 7 core cultural competencies that are things that we think people need to know to make a difference.
Sure.
And so they're the 7 steps, and Annie Munya can tell you a bit more about those, what they are.
Yep, go ahead, Munya.
So we're looking at key components, so things like we look at reconciliation, we look at diversity, the fact that the Indigenous community is diverse, and it's not a case of one size fits all. You always have to consult with locals and to consider them in any programs that you do and develop. So diversity is one. We look at history, but we look at that from a bit of a different lens, and just more so the impact of history. And then communication and cultural baggage and unconscious bias.
Yeah. Kinship.
We look at kinship.
And then we also look at privilege and the role that privilege has to play, and that's where, you know, I can talk as a Miglu or Gadia person. I can talk a lot about knowing what privilege that I enjoy. What a difference.
Yeah, look, and I think it's fantastic when you have black and white working together, you know, because in a way, colour, you're getting educated in the, how you say, black way, L-O-R-E, and help deliver that information to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. I feel that's a good mix. I run a motivational speaking business with a good friend, Miglu Fella, and we work well together since 1999. So it's a good mix.
Yeah, that's a good inning too. That's a long time.
Exactly, yeah. I always tell everybody it's my business. He worked for me. He always tell people that it's a government-funded organisation. They employ, they pay an employed black fella. All jokes here, beautiful.
Well, we're 51% of our business, so I'm a little bit less.
But strong in spirit. Equal in spirit.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic. You want to elaborate on the seven steps?
Yeah, so that was the, they were the seven, we went through six of the steps, but they all lead up to the most important seventh step, which is how to be an ally.
Yeah.
So we look at what you've learned from the six steps, you know, what you've learned from learning more about diversity and kinship and
communication,
and it's a bit of a journey of self-discovery.
Sure.
Throughout, like, people learn a lot more about themselves, and in our program, when we're doing the program and the book itself, it's like there's no shame, blame, or guilt.
Mm.
You know, it's like I can't help that I was born as a Miglu, as a white person, and that I've got a lot of privilege. But what I can do is become aware of that.
Yeah,
and recognising, you know, and that's what we say as First Nation people. I mean, we'll have a non-Indigenous person say to us, listen, what happened to you, your people, it wasn't my fault. Well, okay, but let's acknowledge it, recognise it, walk together in each other's shoes for the future of all Australians.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, today, how I benefit from that.
Yeah.
You know, but every day, Trevor, I become more and more aware of a privilege that I haven't been aware of. And,
sure.
You know, we talk about simple things like a credit card is a privilege.
Mm.
Or knowing how to get a credit card, that's actually like a real privilege.
So, Kala, you would fully understand, and people sort of jump on us as black people when we say white privilege. You'd understand that.
Totally, and it's one of the most powerful things, I reckon, that I've done. To be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is to, like you say, acknowledge it, but also just, well, the main thing is just to acknowledge it. And I think with history too, like Manya says, you know, when we're in the book and that, like, it's not a history lesson, but we've got to acknowledge the impact of our history.
Mm. Yes.
And, you know, we say to people, like, well, you know, every Aboriginal person is affected somehow by the stolen gen. Generation. So when you walk down the street, you know, you're likely to pass someone that is carrying that sort of trauma. So it's just to be aware of it.
Exactly. Well, I keep it simple regarding when educating people, especially non-Indigenous people, is let me take your children off you. That's stolen generation.
Yeah,
come and do a job for me, but you won't get paid. Or stolen wages, whatever the case may be. Let me go on in your house and take what I want. Sort of thing, you know, and just to share that information and open the eyes, you know, and the mind, and look, love them from where they're at if they don't, but it's all good, you know?
Yeah. But people are really keen, aren't they, to know what they can do. So.
Yeah, I find people are, there are some really good, you know, Gadigal Australians out there that do want to help, and they just don't know where to go or to start. And so we really, one of the things Carl and I really believe strongly is we don't shame people. And I always say to them, you can ask me anything. You know, I've heard it all by now, honestly. Mm. You can ask me anything. I'm not going to get offended. So they can do it in a very safe environment.
Sure, yes, exactly.
They learn that way and move on. So, yeah, and it is, as you say, about getting people to understand by relating it to their life experiences.
Mm.
So if you say, you know, I'll come by and I'll grab your children, then it's like, bang, it's immediate. They understand what, you know, what that means. And so all the time we look for practical examples in our training, anything that's going to raise people's awareness and consciousness.
Yeah, so the book, in the book for each step, Trevor, we have lots of tips and tools, but stories for each of them.
Yes.
And, you can imagine that, like, over the years, we've both got a lot of stories. So we just draw from our own personal experiences.
Yes.
Beautiful. And, yep. And that's the best education, isn't it? When you're speaking from your experience, well, you're speaking the truth and you're speaking from your heart and past experiences, of course.
Yeah, and I can also share from a lot of my mistakes too, Trevor.
Yes, well, we all do, yeah. In regards to the book, Practical Reconciliation, Strengthen Relationships for All Australians in 7 Easy Steps, the book is available, and where do we purchase it? How do we get it?
So it's we've launched it as a pre-sale, and it's going to be in our hot little hands in about 4 weeks.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of support for the pre-sale, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can get it from, you can just Google Practical Reconciliation Book,
yes.
Or otherwise from our website, which is evolves.com.au.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And we have a bit of a pre-sale special at the moment too, cool. Of course.
All right, there you go. Jump in.
Yeah.
Get the first cab off the rank, be at the front line.
Yeah.
We say, are you online or in line? Get online. Too deadly. Well, thank you very much for sharing, ladies. Yeah. I think it's fantastic, and it's great to see black and white working together and to educate the people of the world. And that's how we move forward as Australians, walking a mile in someone's moccasins, you know, and understanding and respecting. And I always say, your mind's like a parachute. If it's not open, you're cactus. Come to the table with an open mind for the learning. When the student's ready, the teacher will arrive, will it not, you know?
And that's it too, Trevor. There's so much for us to gain from learning from Indigenous wisdom, and Manya's book last year was about Aboriginal spirituality, Journey to Dreamtime. But there's so much as a society in Australia.
Yep.
Like, we could just go from strength to strength if we embrace that knowledge.
It becomes a powerful tool in cutting out racism.
Yep.
You know, and racism, absolutely. You're not born with it, you're taught it, so we need to unteach it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you got me fired up. Talk about motivate the motivator. Yeah. Two beautiful ladies. Thank you very much, Animanya and Sister Carla. Yeah. Continue doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch. And we'll be looking out for that deadly book, Practical Reconciliation, Strengthen Relationship for All Australians in 7 Easy Steps. And the eighth step was yarning with Trinity Trev on Murray Radio. Too deadly.
Too deadly.
All the best, my sisters. You take care. Keep in touch and stay safe.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye. A deadly yarn there with Sister Elder Manya Andrews and her business partner, Carla Rogers, from Evolve Community Director, and talking about their book they've just written, coming out in about 4 weeks, Practical Reconciliation, Strengthening Relationship for All Australians in 7 Easy Steps. Another tool that they're using, that we are using, in regarding stamping out racism, and that's very important. Like I said, you're not born with it. It's taught, so we need to unteach it, you mob. Too deadly. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, Yarn with the Baldy. I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, taking you right up to 12 noon Queensland time, that is. 1-800-422-416. Give me a call, let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Yes, it is National Talk Black. That number again, 1-800-422-416. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. Like this deadly man, we've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Very good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. How are you? Good?
I'm fantastic, my brother. Every day above ground's a good day, isn't it?
You've got it. you've got it. And yeah, what my little land rights thing is a cemetery. I'm trying to get it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, your fight there. And any word from that? I mean, like, you made the Cairns Post in regarding the story that the Cairns Post did on the situation regarding you having the plot next to your lovely lady who you put to rest not so long ago. Have you got a win there? Is it? Have they come back to you, or what's the go?
Well, yes. I told you it was in the Cairns Post, and then John McKenzie let me on the 4CA Cairns local show, and he said he was going to talk to Brett Muller, and he did, and Brett Muller called me yesterday.
Oh.
And I'm waiting for Brett Muller to call back. I've just left a message on his phone because I gave him my address yesterday, so I'm just sitting here hanging.
Yeah.
But it's days of our lives, days of our deaths. Sorry, you don't want to bring you down.
Yeah, sure, brother.
But that's not what I called, mate. It's to do with Goldsboro Valley and the horses that have been shot there.
Has been shot there?
Did you see the news last night?
No, I missed the news. So animals, horses in this case, have been shot on Goldsboro Valley where you were living and got punted out.
Yeah, mate, and that's still the address of my licence as caretaker, and I care whether I live there or not. That was Donna's favourite thing. It's everybody's environment.
Mm.
But there was a protest in the valley. The farmer, we have wild horses there. I used to say they used to come there at midnight, we put sugar out, and they come in, feed them bananas, and they come and line up, and they bring the... And everybody in the valley loves those horses. They get
so these people who shot them, have they got a permit?
The farmer shot them, mate, and there was people that had a little protest in Goldsboro Valley last night, yesterday, and there was people with placards, there was Murray and Migaloo together there, and there was people crying because they don't know how much... So this is the conflict on the land, because me and Donna, we were shot at up there when we first made appearance.
Yeah, you were saying, remember you telling me that, exactly, yeah.
So the farmer, it sounded like some young fellow there witnessed it, and he went up like he was going to feed them, and he shot four of them, and he just left them. Think it's supposed to be World Heritage Wet Tropics, and the Cairns Council have got the Ilua over it. And people don't understand an Ilua. When they say an Ilua, it means Indigenous Land Use Agreement.
Mm.
People think that's for the Indigenous people, but it's not. That's for the Migaloo. It's for Migaloo to use Indigenous land. Yeah, it's
and shoot beautiful horses.
Yeah, well, how would he like it if they shot his cows?
Exactly.
Because there's cows going down to the water there, and then they're putting guardia in the water. That's why nearly 20 years up there I carried in every drop of water, because there was cattle upstream fenced.
Mm.
How would they like them to cut his bloody horses? I'm wild.
Well, exactly.
Because it doesn't matter if I live there. Like I told you before, I love the place. I love the horses. Yeah, Donna bought this towel. It's got a little brown horse on it and a big white horse, and she's hung it on the wall here.
Mm.
And she said, that's me and you. And I've got a jar in front of me with sugar in it, and it's got wild horses on it, because we found it. And to hear that they shot, because they walk about, got a lot of taipans and death adders, they keep little tracks open, they slow the traffic down.
Yeah.
And there's other conflicts too, because there's sugar cane growing further up the valley. And then they truck it out, old semi-trailers, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And
what do you know of the permission or the authorization for this farmer to shoot these horses? Is that a going thing? Because I wouldn't know.
Well, it's just, you know, it's cruelty. And
of course it is.
With cruelty. And because Cairns Council put the Ilua over it, they're responsible for law and order up there, which they haven't been. It's a beautiful valley. Anybody hasn't been there, it's just south of Cairns and up the Mulgrave River. And it's threatened by everything in time. It's Goldsboro, there was gold mining, there's people fussing it up there.
Mm.
But I was happy that they did protest, and I saw it on the news on Channel 7, I think. And at first I thought, oh, you know, that place has become dangerous. So I thought, oh, yeah, someone shot the horses because it's going to eat their crop, you know?
Mm.
You know, their crop. You know, what they used to call it, the horses eat it, and it's called loco weed then. And there's all kind of reasons that could be, but I didn't see them interviewing a farmer, but I think it's terrible.
Of course,
and
I agree.
They're wild horses, but people love them.
Well, I'd like to say to anybody who's listening, if you've got any authorization on that or any knowledge on the permission of shooting horses, stray horses at that, wild horses, I'd like to know why, how it all works, probably RSPCA. But, I've got another caller to come to, but, look, thanks for sharing. Please do keep in touch, and we'll try and get to the bottom of this. Thanks, Tony.
I had to come on with that one, but thanks.
Okay, brother.
Cheers.
That's Tony Gibbs there calling from Gordonvale and talking about the Goldsborough property where him and his lady were evicted, as he says, shunted out. And but there's killing of horses there by a farmer on the land, and I don't know what the rules and regulations are. I'd like to know what's going on there. Have your say, you mob. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and basic First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumper Group Media, 19.7 FM. All right, we're going to do the Which Way Yarning program, this segment. And it's proudly sponsored by Pocone IGA. And like I said, condolences to the Pocone family losing one of their elders and one of the leading guys in regard to Pocone and the work they've done for community and still doing the work for community. They give us a box of fruit here once a week, and healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we push the message for our mob here, especially our young ones, school-based traineeship. And that's with the Edmonton Police, and I believe we're going to catch up with Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and we also have Sergeant Amit Singh, officer in charge of the Hopewell community, and talk about the great work that they're doing and building partnerships in the community with a program called PEET, as P-E-E-T, an acronym for Positive Energy Exchange Transformation. I love that. On the line, I believe I've seen you, Sergeant Glenn Delay. Good morning. Hello? No? Got Hello? No one there? Hello? Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. Yeah,
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, this is Sergeant Amit.
Singh.
Yep.
Yeah, Sergeant Emmett, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Fantastic.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. I was just talking about your program called PEET, acronym Positive Energy Exchange Transformation. So tell us what PEET is all about and how it started and how you're using it to bring positivity in the community, my brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me on this program. It's very good to share positive programs and stories.
Yes.
The Positive Energy Exchange Transformation PEET started being in Bemidji for a long time. I was there for 5 years working there and started a lot of programs and sort of got me an idea about how I was brought up, you know, back in Fiji. And
are you a Fijian? I was going to ask you your background, where you're from, my brother, but...
I'm Fijian, Indian, all mixed up together.
Okay, my brother, fantastic. Fruit salad, they say.
yeah, that's it. So when I joined the police, I was looking for, things to do, innovative stuff, that I want to be a different style of police officer.
Mm.
I was working in Brisbane, it's the same stuff, so went to Mount Isa, and then when I was in Mount Isa, I went to Bemidji. Because I'm from Fiji, and we didn't have much understanding about indigenous, Australian indigenous culture and stuff, because our school based in Fiji is based from New Zealand, so Maori culture and stuff we sort of studied about at school.
Sure.
So for me, it was
an eye opener.
Yeah, what you see and what you actually experience was two different things for me. And
Sergeant, I'm just saying, I'm loving the fact that we are all students and we're students for life. And the fact that you've come to this this arena in regard to the work that you do, your profession as a police officer, but working with Aboriginal communities, and they're going to learn how the community operates, you know, walking a mile in their moccasins, so you can do your job better, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I started that journey, and I was very, very lucky that I met some really nice elders and community people in Bemidji and in Mount Isa area, and also Northern Territory, and the lawmen out there, LORE, and it kind of, when I started talking to them about it, felt like same thing back at home. You know, in Fiji we have the similar sort of law, LORE and stuff like that. So, and then I went overseas. And started talking to other police from all different places, Canada, America, Europe, everywhere, you know, and see what they're doing, how they're doing it, what's working, what's not working. Mm. Then I started doing my Bachelor of Policing to get more idea about research. And being in Bemidji was great. Speaking to, when I was in New York, speaking to NYPD, they basically told me something that still resonates with me. So he goes, one of the chiefs there told me that policing is all about branding. So you don't have a brand. You got to have a brand like Coca-Cola. I know we shouldn't encourage people drinking Coca-Cola. I'm against it.
But, sugar. Exactly.
But what
you're talking about, branding, but you're also talking about, well, marketing. And marketing is it no matter what product you got. And promoting, well, what you're promoting is positive energy exchange transformation. Pete, you're promoting that.
Yeah. So while I was there, I come back to Doomadgee. I did a lot of good programs there with the elders, and also Preston Campbell was involved with me with the People Tomorrow.
You're a good ally in Preston Campbell.
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy, him and Carl and Tupo. We did some amazing stuff out there in Moreton Island and Doomadgee.
Yes.
So forming all that and trying this thing out, and I said, we need a formula. When we go to the communities, we need a formula. We can't just rock up there and tell people, hey, this is what you got to do, you know.
Exactly.
So you tell them
what to do on their land. That's not good, sort of thing, you know, brother.
That's it. You've got to respect it. So what I do is, in a sense, back at home, you know, like when you go to somebody else's Matangali land, you know, you got to ask permission to walk, you know. So, and same thing. What I've adapted is that when I go to somewhere, I go and meet with the elders and lawmen and stuff, and sit down and have a talk and say, hey, I'm the new police officer in town. I need you guys' permission to walk your land there and look at
it. Yeah, brother, that's it. Exactly. You got the right ingredient there, my brother.
That's it, you know. So I said, I want to understand. But with the law, we can walk anywhere we want, you know, like gives us power. But I said, I know that, but I want to have permission from you guys to walk on your land, because I want protection from you too, you know, from the spirits and everything. So...
Well, building a relationship is a two-way street, isn't it?
That's it, you know. And I said, if I don't respect that, then I don't get respect back, you know.
And makes your job harder. Then you're caught in confrontation and conflict and, you know, demise of a friendship.
Yeah, so, you know, thinking how I grew up, you know, in a small village with the cousins just sleeping on different houses every night and running around and all that.
Yeah.
But I had positive role models in my life. That's where the positive comes from, you know. So we need in our life somebody positive to show us the direction. So positive energy exchange transformation, it is a formula of success.
Yes.
So basically what it is it's what I know from my experience, personal experience growing up, what I needed to get me where I am is what I use for other people. Like, you know, when I was in Doomadgee, it's the same thing. When I was in Manada, it's the same thing. I went to Harvey Bay, I did the same thing. When I went to Camelville, I was there. And then
so that just shows you that it works no matter who you're dealing with and where you're going, you know. Respecting the people of the land, coming with that, a formula, and a very successful formula, it works. Sergeant Emmett, it works.
It works every time. So it doesn't matter white, black, purple, green.
Yes.
It starts with respect, you know.
Yep.
As soon as you show respect, then you build trust. If you don't show respect, you don't build trust. It'll never happen.
Yes, but see, you as a black man as well, brother, you understand culture, you know? And that's what we've got to teach our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, you know. I take my hat off to Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. He's another Migloo white fella as a sergeant in the Queensland Police, and he understands the same formula, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, look, Queensland Police have come a long way, you know.
Yes.
We've got this Looking at the Stars program with from the commissioner level down, you know. It's all about cultural engagement. At the moment, as a service, they're doing a lot of stuff. So the people make a lot of opportunity because I choose where I want to go. I go like, I want to go here. I want to go there. Cool. I want to just go and experience culture a different way. So I was in Northern Territory, working in Queensland, but working as a special constable on the Northern Territory side.
Yes.
I met some really deadly lawmen out there, you know, in RE.
Exactly, and brother.
The powerful thing was, I could go into any of those communities with no police there or anything. If I wanted to pick up somebody, even the escapee from prison or whatever, I would be able to go and do it without
any dramas.
They'll help me.
Exactly,
But there stood shoulder to shoulder with me. I had a program from Alex coming, inviting me to go to the desert country to talk about police and just the weapons and stuff, you know.
Mm.
So the lawman stood next to me and said, I said, oh, look, I'm not going to bring my weapon in this meeting. He's like, no. You bring your tool with you. I'm like, okay. So I stood there and they asked me, you tell the mob here why you wear all that. And I said, look, this is my tool. It's a policeman's tool.
Yep.
If I go to a job, I need to have all the tools. It's like mechanics, you know?
Exactly. If spanner, hammer, yep.
If you didn't bring the spanner, oh, sorry, we're going to go to get the spanner, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so the lawman stood there and he said, so this is my L-O-R-E tools, you know, and he showed all his tools and we put photos together. And
put it in cultural terms, so to speak, to explain.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And so fast forward now, that's the whole history there, but the thing is, you know, I can go to Alice Springs, never worked in my life there. I can go there and people I need to talk to in police ways and bring them back and tell them from Camerwell that I'm coming to your house in the Northern Territory police car and you'll be waiting at home. And I'm going to pick you up and take you to the watch house and sort it out. And they do that.
Brother, you become an ally for First Nation people as well in regarding passing on that communication or that formula to non-Indigenous police officers as well.
Yeah, well, look, it's all about understanding, you know. I'm not saying that what I'm doing is, you know, there's
it works, brother. It works.
When I came to Hopewell, obviously 3 months ago, and we had a lot of kids fighting, you know, youth fighting. And I was at, you know, young age too, like I said, positive, you know, like
sure.
I bring my own self in and go like, yeah, young man, you know, they want to, testosterone's building up, they want to fight, to put it on the Facebook to show who's a good father. So I held a meeting with the elders and the family and local men, brought the kids in together. Teenagers and sat down and said, hey, now, I'm not going to tell you what I want. I want to know what you can do to stop the fight. Help me stop the fight.
Exactly. Help me help you.
Yeah, they said, we want to go hunting and fishing. I said, all right, let's do it. I said, oh, put money in. Put as private. Whoever brings the biggest pig or biggest fish gets $100 out there from the thing. And the elders supported it. We got them, 20 of them were there, so we got, you know, 10 warring parties.
Yeah.
One week and they come and now they're all hunting together, you know.
Good.
So but like it would have been different if I go like, hey, listen, we're gonna be going and sitting in the police station all day and doing drawings and they'll be going whatever, you know. But we gotta have understanding what works and also engage the community and elders and bring them on the table because they're a very important part of the whole puzzle with everywhere, you know.
So, well, exactly.
And look, I've been blessed and, you know, I've got a good community here too. And,
good, brother. So how long you been there in Hopewell?
3 months.
3 months, beautiful. All right, fantastic. And so you're making waves, good waves at that, you know, building a relationship, talking to the mob there, having that yarn, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's all about, that's it. It's all about the yarn. I'm working on a project where we want to build a men's shelter, you know? Because when we are arresting, see, this is the thing. I have issues that I deal with the community, and I raise it up in a meeting with the council, and everyone, we sit down as a collective and go, this is what I'm facing, you know. I'm facing noise issues. I'm facing this. What can we as a community do to fix this?
Yes, exactly.
I can lock people up, but that's not solving the problem, you know. Let's fix it. So we all went together. So, man, we found out that we need to have a culture of healing. That's another program part of my PEAT. So I'm working with other Indigenous cattle station owners around here. We're doing great stuff in Normanby Station. So when I want to bail somebody out on a small thing, I bail them out to country where they can go and do cultural healing, where they, you know,
yes.
On the country.
Getting connected with culture again. Yes, my brother. Yeah. That's beautiful.
So, that's the type of stuff I'm looking at in consultation with the community and building that. So look, this kind of stuff, the more we're going to talk about, the better it's going to be.
Yes.
Like I said, I went all over the world. I spoke with the, you know, Canadian First Nations, American First Nations, Europe, other organizations there. The buzzword is cultural healing.
Yeah, cultural healing. And the fact that, you also do in your job and you're passionate about your job by doing the research, by conversing with Indigenous people across the globe, that shows that you are really concerned about doing your job better and about building relationships with First Nation people on their own country, yes.
At the end of the day, you know, the same thing for me. It's all about, see, I love food. See, back in Fiji, we love food too. So when I go, ask them all, like, you know, when I was in Bemidji, I rock up there and they're like, I said, what are you cooking? They're like, oh, I'm cooking guana. And I said, oh, cool, can I have a taste of it?
Yeah.
They're like, cool, good.
Give the Fijian boy a bit of guana.
I'm like, hey, you'll be eating this.
Kava.
You know, like, you
guys
have been this for 60,000 years. I'm thinking, you know, nothing's
going to
happen to me
if I eat it. Well, exactly, brother. Exactly. Guana, good taka. Look, beautiful conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. And it's good to have a good news story, you know. And it's not fake news. This is from the heart. And a man with a blue uniform on, a brother man from Fiji working with our mob. Look, fantastic and whatever it takes. And educate the non-Indigenous police officers as well. And we can make this thing work, my brother.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, it's all about coming together. Me wearing the uniform, it doesn't make me some unhuman. What it is that it's my job also to educate and explain myself, my position to the mob, you know?
Sure. Well, you've got authority, but you're in control of that authority, and in regarding communicating that authority with the authority of the people of the land.
Yeah, and look, if we meet that obligation, 50-50, we'll have a better relationship.
Yeah, love
and,
it.
And look, I can go anywhere, and this has been my thing that I've been doing. And I've been taught by the really, really powerful traditional elders and and longmen and stuff where they, you know, I learned the culture from them where they can tell me sitting down in their country telling me what, you know, their stories and all that. And just understanding all that.
Well, Sergeant Ahmed, you're learning from the professors of the land.
That's it. You know, like things that I've learned, and I was like, wow, I can't read that on a book, you know.
So good. You've got good spirit there, my brother. Look, thank you for the yarn. All the best to you and your deadly team. Keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch. If you're in Cairns, you drop and have a cuppa here at Bummer Bipper too, my brother.
Hey, don't invite me for food because I'll be there.
Bulla bulla.
Bulla.
All right, my brother, you take care. All the best. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn, positive yarn, upbeat yarn with Sergeant Amit Singh. He's the officer in charge of the Hopewell community. Big shout out to Hopewell Mob, too deadly. And look, you got a good one there. A Fijian brother, wears the blue uniform. Worked in a lot of First Nation communities, as in Dumuji and Mornington Island, as he mentioned. So look, fantastic. So he's there to work with the mob and also educate the non-Indigenous police officers as well, you know, male and female, about how we engage with First Nation people. So fantastic. Good news stories. Have you say your mob yarn up strong. It's 11:44 here in sunny North Queensland. We've got about 15 minutes to go on the deadly program, National Talk Black, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. To deadly mob, have a yarn.
Kiama, Arawa, Kupanga, Kigali yake, Diama, Kigali yake.
Yeah, Gampaka, that's a Litter Stick Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone on the line. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning again. I'm Delhi, brother.
Good.
Yeah, thinking that, like to say that might affect. Only about thank you for the training and kids blown away by the training, you know, okay? And, brother, while I was there, it blew me away when you said that. I was right up close. I'm getting the middle guy. I listened to him talking. You know,
who's that?
Michael Goodwood.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he went back to Mrs. Country. He's Irish. And he said, my Mrs. Old, how are you home, brother? 300 years old, brother. home. The house. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that's what. That blew me away, brother.
Yes.
And one of the other things I had done was ask Graceland about Colin, the whistleblower for the Fitzgerald Inquiry, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, in the last call yesterday, all of the above, you know, Colin Dillon, all of the above, you know, the government's going to give us things out of the goodness and kindness of his heart. And what he done when I saw the Four Corners program, the Moonlight State and the Fitzgerald Inquiry, they exposed the government.
Mm.
And he got a senior police, Terry Lewis, he got him jailed, you know, brother, and a lot of corrupt bullying. At that time, Brother Kelvin Condon was there alive when the Darwin fight fell up, they said he missed. Because Kelvin Condon was in the White Castle that happened. But anyway, brother, and where we are today, it's not because of the kindness, but the goodness of the government we got to fight. And it's just, you know, like Courtney Lesson got sacked from Nine, and she always has a platform. She always had a platform, and she had access to these media. We only have social media. We have this Murray Show. Like I said before, a lot of times I said, let's go and look and get printed. And that bearing of the flag is one of these ways of us to get publicity. And
to get attention. To deliver our message, yep.
Yeah, even Bob Canada outrageous thing to get this publicity. And, I praise for, like, just a session just had, and then July coming on, and Brother Robbie Hollingsworth. And if I would have spoken, like I spoke last week, I think on radio, I prayed the copies of dead evidence, Lucky Big on the Cairns Workers and Graham Coonock in Penrith. And, I prayed the bullying too. Anyway, brother, when happened to Mulwindi, the Queensland police force had the Queensland government to ransom, whether they're going to go on strike. If they need to be waiting on them, or do things, the traffic, not take certain fines, or something like that, and they owe them to ransom. And but now, I think, who owns the government now is the media, with the Murdoch and his mob.
Yeah.
And I've seen the slow decline. I couldn't think of the word, but I spoke about the three papers up in the Cape here, Torres News, the West Cape, sorry, my opinion, West Cape Bullion and Cook, more for the word they combine, but they go on bus and Cairns Post and Cairns Bulletin started coming up with the same idea, to his patrons have tablets, and now the media they're losing the customers, and I think we're sort of winning on social media, because nobody owns social media, and we have ownership, and it's good that we have social media. But he spoke about it. We've done all those things about it, but we're going to take a few of them. We stand on the shoulders of people that didn't work for the good graces of the government. But thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you very much, someone. Thank you. Strong words. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. But you've got about 6 minutes on the program. We haven't got long, so squeeze in the yarn and have your say like Tony. Tony Gibbs back. Yes, my brother.
Have your say, what?
Tony, turn me down. Yeah, I can hear me.
Yeah.
How are you, bro?
Oh, we're on again, are we?
Yeah, we are on again. Yes, my bro.
I just put my glasses on here. When I got booked this morning, I'll come on and talk about the wild horses there. But I was at the march last Friday, and I wasn't the only paperboy. There was, I think, Sam Bacco got the powers of Parliament, legislative powers of Parliament from Warren Inch, wasn't it? I remember. And I was handed one of them papers, and it's the legislative powers. There's only a couple of lines here. I'll be quick, but I missed this first part because the Parliament. It says the Parliament. The powers of the Parliament shall, subject to this constitution, have power to make laws for the peace, order and good government of the Commonwealth with respect to, and then there's a list of 40 things, but the paper we were given out was underlined with bright yellow letters there. It says, the people of any race for whom it is, I'm reading this out. I'm trying to give the answer to the council here. If it's good enough for federal government and state government, it should be good for local government. The people of any race for whom it is deemed necessary to make special laws. I'm talking about being able to pay for my funeral plot. I can relate to that too. The people of any race, well, we all belong to the rat race.
Human race, yeah, yep.
Yeah, we all belong to the human race, for whom it is deemed necessary to make laws, and going back, to make laws for the peace, order and good government. Now, if that is the Constitution, Brett Moller is the Cairns City Council member for Gordonvale out there, because it's the national show. I missed the local show, mate. You've got to realise we're talking to the whole thing. But anyway, when the council settle me down, they'll be doing themselves a favour, because I'm tormented beyond relief, Trev, to tell you the truth. I'm depressed and I'm just going in circles, and I cannot rest in peace even when I'm alive, you know, because I don't know where I'm going to rest in peace.
But you're fighting a good fight, my brother, and while you've got air in your lungs, you continue the fight, and more power to you, brother.
Yeah, well, there's some air and there's half of a cigarette too, because I'm sort of smoking myself to death too, anyway. That's another story. But anyway, I just wanted to add that on, and that farmer up there has exposed the attitude of Valley and how conflicts start with people. You know, I know they're not native animals, but people love them because it's a lonely place, and they come and visit at night time and they bring their foals. It's a magic experience. And if you don't have that, I understand why then people are crying and protesting. It was on more than one channel. So, you know, if you live on the land, I think me and Donna spent more time up there caretaking the native title camp. They cleared out all the squatters and they left. Well, we was there before they left us in charge, but they voted in. Anyway, time must be up, mate.
My brother, thank you for sharing. All the best to you, Tony. Keep in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, matey. That's Tony Gibbs there, having your say, 1-800-422-416. But you may have to do that tomorrow, brothers and sisters, because Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Now, Victoria's recorded 134 more cases of coronavirus in the past day. The premier has confirmed of those cases, 123 remain under investigation, with 75 cases now linked to the 9 public housing towers that are in lockdown. So we are not out of the woods. We're doing really great here in Queensland, and other states and territories are still abide by the laws and rules that are in place, and there is no vaccine for the virus, so we do not want a second wave, so we need to do a bit. Don't forget that 24-hour national coronavirus helpline number, 1-800-020-080. That number again, 1-800-020-080. Your mob, thank you very much for coming. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Be yarning soon here on National Talk Black, and we're going right through to the news, NIRS. So take care, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and yarning soon. Stay safe, your mob.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it. Should've said